Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Maybe Next Year, the only podcast that starts with talking about how many people have died over the course of human history pre-show and decides it can only get worse from there. My name is Frank.
I am Scott.
And I'm Paul.
Yeah, and I just couldn't let that rest. We were talking about
you whether could anybody let it rest was... in peace, one might say.
No, one might say. One might say. And, you know, we had gotten to the very morbid thought that we didn't know if anybody had died that we knew, and we just really hoped that it hadn't. Last we checked, everybody was okay. And I said, that's a great place to start recapping this Bills-Dolphins game.
We're maybe here some with of you. Our fans right now are dead. Who's to say?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you know, you never know. And if so, I'm sure the thing that their relatives are thinking about the most are, you know, they didn't get the podcast out quick enough.
Right.
I know that.
They're
no,
thinking, why did
I
they?
Will, I will put a name in.
Why didn't they stop the Dolphins' running attack? That's what they're thinking. Yes. Well, I sincerely hope that none of our listeners are dead, and so let's just leave it there. Even though we all know they might be, let's just hope that all the people we love and or like and or listen to us aren't dead, so that we can right.
Your Grant has obviously died. We haven't heard from him like much on you.
He tweeted or something the other week.
He did. No, he occasionally pops in with a tweet.
Okay. Well, what is dead is this football game. scarily, Aaron, thank you. Aaron Williams was carted off in a ambulance after this game, but is now back with the team. So that's at least, you know, speaking of the things that could have gotten incredibly morbid, we'll spend some time talking about that. But the Bills lose 28-25 in an upset. Bills were road favorites for the first time in 9 years, and if you bet the fish, you won, you made money. Big fourth quarter for the Dolphins. They outscored the Bills 14-8, and actually outscored them 8-7 in the second half, too. Jay Ajayi is the.
I almost said Frank Yerzulane, but
yes, I. No, that's just his name. Jay Ajayi, and every time you say the letter A, he gets another yard. He had 3 million rushing yards against the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills lose the football game that we all picked them to win. Nobody more confidently than I. There are a lot of creases and wrinkles and nooks and crannies with which to go with this game, and it is fresh in our memory. I'm going to start with Scott, and then we'll go over to Paul, who I know I disagree with, at least in part, with regards to the results of this game. So, Scott.
All right, then. I will put some of this on the injuries. I think as the week went on and it became clear. I said some, so I'm right in the middle of both of you is what it sounds like. But right where I like to be, all greased up between you two. Injuries they have a role. I mean, I don't think anyone would dispute that. I think, you know, you can take an NFL team and take away the top wide receiver and, you know, they're expected to still perform, but then you put a severely damaged, I'll say, LeSean McCoy out on the field where he's basically ineffective, certainly not the LeSean McCoy that we saw a week or two ago and 2 weeks ago. Out there, and you take out Robert Woods, Charles Clay also playing, you know, somewhat injured, and it's kind of you needed to be playing much like last year's game against Tennessee is a little bit what this reminded me of, and kind of you know, we would have needed a Tyrod kind of heroic performance, and he played. I don't want to say he played poorly, but he certainly didn't do enough to win the game. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But I think we all hoped that we saw a little bit more from him. If you do your standard kind of like I've been doing, you add his carries and yards to his reception, to his passing totals, you end up with 21-28 for about 260 yards and two touchdowns, which is a pretty decent game, which is good. But at the same time, he had a chance at the end of the game to put this one out of – you put this one back in the win column and you couldn't do it. And at some point, you know, that's on him. Though obviously you can't go into this game much further without talking about the defense, which was horrific. I mean, you know, definitely one of the sadder performances we've seen.
Yeah.
Clearly the stretch play was something they had never seen before. it was a little disturbing how quickly that kind of just repeatedly gashed our supposedly now reinforced defensive line and linebacking core with Shaq Lawson, our first round pick, it looks like they just had never, they were expecting Miami to kind of roll over in this game. And clearly Miami was very game. Miami, and also to their credit, they continued to fight all the way into the fourth quarter. Even after the Bills kind of threw about as close as you were going to get to a knockout punch with the Marquise Goodwin touchdown. But the, you know, you credit Adam Gase for keeping them fighting, and I will leave it there.
Yes. I also like how Frank, the host of it, is also running a haunted house at the very, very same moment right now. No. With the clanging, though, that's actually Jacob Marley and Shane. So it's kind
yes,
of
I'm sorry. We are finishing up dinner. I apologize. It's a very nice chicken pot pie.
Oh, no, it adds to the ambiance. There's no need to apologize.
Sounds delicious.
The ghosts of victories past. Paul, yes. Tell us your thoughts on the game, please.
Sure, and this is Frank and I'll get into some disagreement, and it's going to end with us going, are you going to hit me? Which is kind of funny because we're actually hundreds of miles away right now. So I would be a fool to deny injuries don't have an impact on a game when you are down, Sam, you are down Woods. By the end of this game, they didn't have Goodwin, but of course that was at the very end. So there's your top three wide receivers. You have the, you know, Clay was a bit hobbled going in. Obviously, whatever we saw out of LeSean McCoy today was not the LeSean McCoy that we saw at the beginning of this, the last four games of this season. But, you know, what really, really got me irked about this game, I think the Bills, and Rex Ryan agrees with me, and we all, of course, know that Rex always speaks the truth. I think they just got their asses handed to them in the trenches. I think that's where you lose the game. I think the Bills had a healthy offensive line. They couldn't open up any holes in the running game, whether it was LeSean or Gillislee or anyone else. You know, Reggie Bush had a rushing touchdown, for crying out loud. That's a questionable rushing touchdown, if you ask me, but it counted. You looked on the other side of the ball. Yes, you can say, well, they've been without Marcel, but they've been without Marcel all season, and they just got totally gashed up front. And I think this is when they were up 11 points in the third quarter, my dad and I were looking at each other and saying, how are they winning this game? Special teams is the only area of this game in which they're winning right now. And they hit one big play there. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, yes, Frank made a point when we were talking on Twitter that if you have Sammy Health, if you have a healthy McCoy in the lineup.
Don't steal all my points. I'm sorry. Not everybody reads my tweets, so no, go ahead.
You'll get to tear me a new one after my point here. I just think, bottom line, even if they have those players in the lineup today, the way they got thoroughly gashed in the trenches, I don't necessarily see their offense staying on the field. Tyrod got sacked 2,804,008 times, I believe,
is the final
number. Or four.
Or four.
Roughly the same number.
Yes.
And the Bills defense just couldn't do it. I mean, we already talked about we couldn't stop him. So that's the bottom line, because Stone Paul said so.
Okay. We're going to refer to you forever now as Stone Paul.
Stone Paul.
Look, you can't tell me that in any universe that if the Bills are up 11 points in the second half and they have LeSean McCoy healthy, that they don't win this football game. I refuse to believe it. I think that is goofy. And I spit on the proposition. I apologize. I like you very much, Paul. But I think if LeSean McCoy is healthy, then it affects how the game goes in the first half. It affects how many plays the Dolphins are running because the Bills are presumably making more plays. And certainly I think it really helps them up 11 points. That's what the Bills do. You know, they get up 4 points. They adjusted kind of well at the beginning of the second half. If you remember, there were a couple of three and out series from the Dolphins pretty quickly early on in the second half. And to me, what happened was you can only lose so many players before it all falls apart. Even though LeSean wasn't doing very much in the game, his presence was affecting how they were covering and how they were keying up the run and stuff like that. The other thing that happened, Aaron Williams going out. I mean, I think he...
Yeah, like, dirty play there.
It was a really dirty play. It was a really dirty play. Mm-hmm. And the more I watched the play, the more I was annoyed because asshole face, whatever his name is, he who shall not be named.
Jasshole.
Jasshole was like standing over Williams. Like it was really clear that on his on that play, the only thing he wanted to do was light up Aaron Williams and to come over.
That was, they called that play in the huddle, and he was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ear hole the safety.
Because the play is still going on, and he's down looking at Williams on the ground like, what, you know? And to come over and offer some ridiculous, you know, half-assed fucking apology while they're walking him off the field is ridiculous. But what I'm saying is you lose Aaron Williams in the middle of the game. You lose LeSean McCoy at least as a decoy in the middle of the game. And then really you're down – you're already down Woods, and then you lose Goodwin. You have no one left to throw to. So my point is twofold, only in that as this week goes on and we read things and we hear things about the Bills – And people talk about, you know, how could this team blow it? Well, I think that I think that's disingenuous. The team that won the four games over the last 4 weeks wasn't the team that was on the field, and there were substantial pieces missing. Yes, there were already substantial pieces missing, but the last few substantial pieces missing that could make a difference were gone. They were not really on the field. It was going
tipping point, straw, and camel.
Right. At some point, your roster becomes the Cleveland Browns, okay? And, like, no one's out there saying, well, the Cleveland Browns – I guess the only people out there saying the Cleveland Browns have to get over it and just win are the Cleveland Browns. Maybe. Like, they might even be tanking the season. But at some point, you just literally don't have the talent to keep up.
Right.
Could the Bills –
let's face it, Cleveland fans just expect they're going to win all the titles now.
Right. And I thought and I know it was prevent defense at the end of the game, but I was really impressed and happy that they marched down the field and they scored a touchdown and got the 2 points and put themselves in punter's chance land. I wish they had done that the series before and not given up the touchdown, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they are faultless or I'm giving them a pass. They lost this football game, and they did get their asses kicked, and they didn't run the football, and maybe they should have started with Gillislee instead of McCoy and just given him the opportunity. And certainly there was no remedy for the run defense this week other than my point, which is keeping the run, keeping the defense off the field, like, you know, getting JAJAA off the field by keeping the ball on the offensive side of the ball. So this is a tough loss for me. It's a tough luck loss a little. It's they definitely, you know, they lost. Just like they beat the – Paul pointed out, they beat the hapless Patriots, and that counts. And they're going to lose to the hapless Dolphins, and that's going to count. So
– I mean, if there's one glimmer of optimism out of all this, we don't know what to expect next week. And the team seems to – I mean, we all pick them to win this week, although you guys picked them by 40. I at least thought it was a bit of a closer game.
I don't think I had it by 40.
No, you didn't. Neither did Frank. I love hyperbole. So, you know,
well,
the good news is they've defied expectations every week. I think we can reasonably assume they're going to win next week. So there's a plus.
I tell you what, though. I mean, if they don't get these guys back, or McCoy's going to be that McCoy, like, that is the season. We sort of said that last week. He's the season. And they'll have to play out the games, and maybe they can cobble some stuff together. But it was clear that the offense wasn't the offense without him. I thought Tyrod did okay. He did just about exactly what you thought he could do. And it was almost enough. It was almost enough. It just wasn't enough. And so
it was well as he could do with his top two wide receivers out, certainly.
His top three by the end of the game, really. I mean,
yeah.
You know, his top three and his number one running back. Like, he's not on the same football team that he was on last week. You know, to me,
Yeah, I mean, the McCoy thing for me is very big. I mean, I don't want to understate how big that is, but I think I do want to put a lot of this on the defense. Like, I don't think that you can like, the offense ended up scoring. And again, even if you wiped that last one off the board, if you had come to me and said the Bills were going to end up scoring, you know, 17 points in this game, I'd have been like, that's pretty close. But I think the defense can take that. I think the defense is going to do enough there, and they were not in the ballpark. Like, they were not. There were. I mean, it was repeatedly that he was. The Pro Football Focus already had their thing up, and it was 16 missed tackles today.
Yeah. I saw Kyle different, missing tackles, which is so rare, but he missed at least three that I remember
from
seeing.
10 different defenders. So again, pretty much everyone on the starting defense missed at least one tackle. And really, you know, Ajay, let's see, he averaged 4.5 yards after contact.
Mm-hmm.
It's an atrocious performance. And they didn't, frankly, they didn't look prepared. They didn't look prepared from the get-go, and that goes to the coaching. I will also say that some of this, and this, and the one other point that I will bring up, and this one does go a little bit more to McCoy being injured, is that the offensive line obviously took a major step back. I mean, I understand, like, Cameron Wake's a pretty good player. He has not been a great player in a couple years.
Right.
He is still a decent player, but Jordan Mills was terrible. Jordan Mills gets the 53rd star today for worst guy on the field. And, you know, it was just a – it was a
106th star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 106th star, right, exactly. And, you know, they just – there were far too many – and, you know, given – you know, that's the other thing is, given how well Taylor played, given how poor his pass protection was repeatedly, how many of those throws he had to run out of the pocket to even have a chance getting out there. I think he played about as well as you could expect. I mean, yeah, ultimately it wasn't enough, but, you know, definitely between an atrocious defense and LeSean and Robert and Sammy, like, it was pretty clear where this one was going, and that's why it's frustrating is you can control the defensive effort.
Yeah.
You can't control the injuries. And
yeah, up 11, you feel like you've got to make a better adjustment, and it was just mind-numbing.
It wasn't Ryan Tannehill suddenly, like, opening up the offense and doing something different. It was the same offense.
Mm-hmm. Just Tannehill didn't do anything special. His number, I mean, even the long touchdown pass, that was an underthrown ball where Stills just made a fabulous adjustment, and then Corey White
with the tackle of
all the Bills.
It was this
Ronald Darby to give Stills a good pass to the end zone.
It was the same dumb touchdown from last week where they were confused, and then it was a terribly thrown ball, but there was all the room in the world to go for it. One more thing about missed tackles. I think it means that the defensive plan was good. They just couldn't execute, because if you're missing three or four tackles on a play, like, they had you in the right position and you didn't do it.
They held them to six through almost, you know, through the first, 44 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Until the last, and then the last 16 minutes, three touchdowns.
Yeah. One more interesting stat before the, three stars here. Mike Gillisley, 5 carries for 20 yards with a long of 20 yards.
Yes, which was
he needed to see the ball more.
Yeah, why did we had a question from JR on Twitter, and thank you, JR, because I don't think we've interacted before. I apologize if I'm wrong. But he said why they went away from Gillisley after he broke a 20-yard run.
Yeah.
Damned if we know. Wasn't that pretty much it for him? Did he have like one more the rest of the game after that?
No, he was that's what I'm saying. He had a 20-yard run. And the other 4 carries netted 0 yards.
Right. But I think those 4 carries came before his 20-yard run. So it's like, why then?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, that's it. That might be like the most – because I know there will be some talk about whether McCoy should have played or not. And right. I think that's a dicey – that involves a lot
of – Yeah, we had a great – yeah, Orlando and I and others were going back and forth on that too. You have so much – you know, it's all about hindsight. If in hindsight you know he's going to not really do anything productive – the Bills are going to lose the game anyway. Well, then yes, of course you're going to rest him. But you know, we have that benefit that we didn't have.
Right. But if a doctor says, well, rest isn't really going to do this. It's going to take a long time, and he's going to be hindered all year. And it doesn't matter if you sit him out this week. Then, you know, going into the game, it might make total sense. Like, well, let's just get him out there because he could win us this game, and we probably don't have much of a chance against New England next week. So we can, you know, win this winnable game and punt on New England next week. But
where is the doctor who says that rest doesn't help an injury?
Well, I'm sorry. A doctor might say something like it'll take more than resting this week for there to be any significant, you know, he might say this is going to be lingering all year. And so you can pick your poison as to when you want McCoy to get rest.
I mean, to me, I'm all for, you know, I get that there's maybe games you think you're going to win and games you think you're not, and you can play a little bit. And I think it is dicey to kind of try and guess your injuries around that in hindsight. For me, it's just a simpler decision to just Gillisley's the number two running back. He's got to be the number two running back, which means he starts and plays more when the number one running back is hurt.
Like, yeah, he needs more than 5 carries no matter what. Like,
yeah, no, that I can't abide.
Okay.
We are not fathoming that.
Right. Well, then let us move on to the three stars, and we will see what Nostradamus has for us, and then we will continue with our ranking.
The three stars will be pretty easy. We're going to give an honorable mention to Cameron Wake. Okay. who had a number of pressures. He did not end up lighting up the stat board with a lot of stats. He had two tackles, you know, 1.5 sacks and a tackle for loss, and then he had two additional QB hits. But I think, you know, he and the rest of the defensive line did a great job of harassing Taylor, and maybe Taylor does a little better job finding some open guys if he has a little more time, giving these number 3 and 4 and 5 wide receivers a chance to get out there and make some plays if the offensive line does a better job of keeping people like Cameron Wake off him. So I give Cameron Wake the honorable mention. And then next star is Jay Ajayi, who gets the first, second, and third stars. For 28 carries, 14 yards, and one touchdown. Because frankly, no one else really did enough to earn a star. Ryan Tannehill, 15-25 for 204 and a touchdown, and 6 rushes for 21 yards. No, that was, and most of that on a, again, as we indicated, kind of a broken play. Otherwise, he'd end up with, you know, 140 yards passing in an NFL game for a fifth-year starter or whatever. That's laughable. Tyrod.
At Ryan Tannehill, everyone, because he's still a terrible football player.
Please. Tyrod didn't do enough to earn a star. Again, the completion percentage not great. Some of that's the, as we said, all the issues. He also didn't win the game. Can't give it to him. And then, you know, Dolphins defense did okay, but they already got the honorable mention, and certainly no one on the Bills defense deserves anything. So even Lorenzo Alexander with his sack a game continuing. It's just in a loss, it means nothing. So.
I mean, there is one Bill I
Colton
think.
Colton Schmidt?
Yeah, there we go. Where I was going to go. I mean, that's the one guy. Like, all right, I'll just keep putting punts inside the 5, flipping the field. Dolphins can have several 60-yard drives ending in punts because I put them so far down the field and kick coverage is done well. So he was, again, special teams. Ryan said special teams was the only unit that did their job, and I'm definitely agreeing with Rex on that one.
And he put them at the one at the crucial part of the game. I thought it was kind of a iffy place to punt, and it worked perfectly. Special teams got the ball at the 1 yard line, and it was, you know, all for naught. So, What is not all for naught is the continuation of our podcast. However, do we want
to
spend?
Well, that's yet to be seen.
Right, I guess so.
I mean, this could go downhill fast.
Perhaps, like, we'll have a McCoy moment later, and we'll say, well, in hindsight, we should have just ended the podcast there. Do we want to talk about the injuries some more? Do we want to talk about the Dolphins being D-bags at the end of the game?
I think those are all good topics. I'd like to, and again, JR, thanks for, you know, interacting with me during the game. I'd mentioned the BS at the end of the game that the Bills would probably want to remember this for the rematch. And, you know, that it's definitely going to bite them somewhere down the line. You know, it almost cost them today. Look at Rashad Jones. I was what they were speculating was the injured Dolphin on the sideline in street clothes who actually got under Tyrod's. I don't see people get under Tyrod's skin. So whatever he said,
yeah,
you got to figure that was pretty, pretty ridiculous to get Tyrod annoyed to hit along the sidelines at the end. Obviously, the big thing is the fact that Aaron Williams' career could be over for all that we know.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of those things that got under my craw. But let's be honest here. I'm not saying Bills lost the game because the Dolphins are dirty. The Bills got their asses handed to them today, whether it's a plain old ass handing or a largely injury based ass handing is the only point of disagreement. But they got their asses handed to them regardless. So. All of that said, that really rubbed me the wrong way how the Dolphins handled this. On the plus side, as someone pointed out on Twitter, hey, maybe the Bills Dolphins rivalry will actually be a thing again, something to care about.
Yeah,
I'm not in favor of like renewing rivalries with teams that are worse than us. Like, I'm a very proud Badger fan. Like, I have some Badger fan friends who are like, I want Minnesota to be better. I want it to mean something when we beat them. And I'm like, I'm pretty happy with the 15 consecutive wins in the series, actually. I think I'll take them not seeing the trophy for the last, you know, since, you know, people's, you know, there are kids in high school who have never seen Minnesota win that game. So I'm okay with the Dolphins continuing to be terrible and, you know, us not having to worry about them twice a year. I'm okay with that.
The weird thing was the Landry penalty at the beginning of the game where he spins the football. I felt that was, like, uncalled for. That to me felt like.
Oh, I even forgot about that. Yeah, good.
Right, point. And I was like, you know, if it was in the middle of the field, he spun the football, like he would have not been in trouble. He did on the Bills sideline, and to me, that was like, ticky-tacky and like part of like a larger tapestry of like, I feel like we should all be celebrating. Maybe that was a little too in the face, but I wasn't like so offended by that. And then to have him earhole Williams, how he didn't end up just smothered. Like, I feel like in baseball, like he would have been like beaned, and in hockey, like the goon would have come out. And for football, to me, there needed to be a place where, you know, on a kick return or something, like they just tackled him and then like four or five bills, like punched him in the side of the stomach or something as he was on the ground. And just, especially when you're like losing the game at the end of the game, like you just need to like, you know, give it a little to Landry, because that wasn't just like dirty. It was like really dangerous and scary and like the worst of the NFL, like amongst the worst of the NFL, probably like just under like all the domestic abusers is somebody who would willfully try and hurt someone else like that, you know, on the field.
It was pretty gross. It was a little bit, you know, and I think one of the things is I think it's just hard to see. Everything's going so fast. Everyone's, yeah, you know, concentrating on what they're trying to do, and you're just in the game and you don't really notice it, you know, so you don't, that's why I think things didn't get out of hand. I mean, I think that started it to a certain extent is people saw Aaron going off and then they just kind of like, well, now it's on a little bit. But I think maybe that's why it didn't get completely out of hand right then.
Right.
No, I mean, I agree. It's hard to say. I mean, you wonder, I can't imagine that Jarvis Landry, I mean, maybe he had no idea that of Aaron Williams' history, which I think obviously makes this so much bigger deal for all of us. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't be doing that against a guy with no history of head and neck trauma.
Right.
You would think that that would have come up at some point in a league email or any kind of pregame coverage that the Dolphins were doing during their week. If, you know, Aaron Williams, you know, he's been out for 2 years because of this huge head and neck injury, and now he's back, so you got to watch out for him, that kind of stuff. Like, you would think that that would have come up and that he would know not to do that, because it would seem to provoke. I mean, I would hope that the NFL, you know, gets out, you know, has Moose and Rocco go down to Jarvis's pad and make him get out the checkbook for, you know, six figures
right
here. If not, you know, at least a game. But it's just, it's pretty gross.
Bigger picture NFL stuff, the Bills at 4-3, I think would be seventh right now in the playoffs, but only because Kansas City and Denver are 4-2, not 4-3. That said, I think both of them have better, well, no, Denver's 0-1, or 2-1 in the conference, and Kansas City's 3-2. That's actually the biggest problem to me. Losing to the Dolphins isn't great. The bigger problem is losing in conference again and now having a 1-3 record in conference.
And now they're in a cluster. I mean, let's talk about that. Like, Bill, this is going to take me 10 full seconds, but I'm going to do it anyway because it just gives you an idea of where the conference is. Bills 4-3, Dolphins 3-4, Chiefs 4-2, Broncos 4-2, Chargers 3-4, Ravens 3-4, Bengals 3-4, Colts 3-4, Titans 3-4. That's just the 3-4, 4-3 teams. Oh, and Steelers 4-3.
Yeah, so, 4-3, but leading the division. So,
you're in this clump. If you're 5-2, you're above this clump a little bit. Instead, you're just right in the middle of this nonsense.
If you're 5-2, you're also 2-2 in conference, and you're not, like, you know, really dig, you're not, that's not nearly the hole that 1-3 is.
Right. And with three losses to conference opponents with records under 500.
Yeah.
with the Patriots coming up, with the Bengals coming up, with the Steelers coming up, it's
and the Seahawks.
And the Seahawks. Right.
Well,
potentially endangering our NFC West crown.
Oh, and the Raiders. How could I forget the Raiders?
Right.
Yeah.
They're again, this gets back to the injuries for me, because I think if the team that played last week had survived until the end of the football game this week, I think they win this game. And I think that you look at teams like Cincinnati and you look at teams like the Raiders and you say, yeah, that the Bills can beat that team. The Bills from week six can win that, beat that team. The problem is going into next week, you know, the Bills of next week and the Bills of this week, can they do that? I don't know. I think that sort of demonstrates the razor-thin nature of how good the Bills are, and probably highlights again the difference between a elite level quarterback and a good quarterback and a, you know, Tyrod Taylor above average quarterback, who can do many things right and minimize his mistakes, but still needs a lot of things to go right, you know, as opposed to a guy like Brady or a guy like Roethlisberger when he's playing, who can just sort of win you a football game. Did you guys watch any of the Steelers Patriots? I felt like the Steelers had a good game plan for the first half, and then couldn't keep up. And I think that next week the Bills are going to be in trouble. But let's not get there yet.
I mean, it's interesting that you're taking this kind of perspective, Frank. Because for me, I mean, we were texting before this setting up the pod, and I was kind of like, the world makes sense again for me, because it's like, oh right, this is the Bills that. These were the flaws that I never saw, because McCoy was playing so well and because we were playing, let's be honest, terrible teams. Like, the Niners are a terrible team.
Yeah.
The Patriots with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback are not a good team. Like, again, when they were winning, you know, the two out of those three games, or Garoppolo was starting two out of those three. So if they have Garoppolo in there, he's even better than Brissett. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is a team that has a – incredibly sturdy resume to, like, say, you know, like, if this was the, you know, the college football polls that were like, oh, well, you know, look at who they beat. And it's like, okay, well, we've beaten Arizona, yeah, we've beaten the Rams, and those teams are 3-3 and 3-4 respectively. We've beaten the Pats without their starting top two quarterbacks, and we've beaten, who else? Who's the fourth team? Somebody else.
The Niners.
The Niners, yeah.
The Niners.
The terrible 49ers, yes.
Although, did the Niners win today? They won today. They were playing the
Bucs. No, they were down quite a bit. I'd be surprised if they came back. I'll look at it.
Yes, no, it was 34-17 Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Never mind. I'm cracked. Okay.
Again, so that's not the resume of a team that looks like anything more than your standard 8-8, 9-17 that this team has been for a while. The offensive line issues that, you know, granted were papered over in some of those games, came kind of rearing their head back up again with Mills just being a turnstile at right tackle. The defense, you know, again, mysteriously just vanishing in the middle of the game, kind of seemingly kind of uninterested in stopping the run. Things that I remember from last year's team.
Yeah, but I just look at the rest of the league and I say again, the team from last week, the healthy-ish team, you know, is better than Miami and better than the Jets, and they're better than the Chargers probably, and they're better than Cleveland. And
those
I think
four bad teams,
right? But
so it gets us to average again.
I'm right, but what I'm saying is now you're talking about can they be as good as Baltimore, Cincinnati, Denver, Kansas City, Oakland? And I don't think that they're not in that mix. I think that they are in that mix, and I think that they can beat those teams. I don't think that they're head and shoulders better than those teams, but I think they're as good as those teams, and I think that 9-7 might have done it this year. You know, like, this is a down year. All the wildcard teams are kind of right here in the middle right now. It's not like there's this one great division like there is some years where, you know, Baltimore and Pittsburgh are both going to finish with, you know, 12-11 wins, and you better have 10. Like, this looks like a 9-7 here to me. And so I guess maybe that's the extra disappointing part is, like, you know, I don't think you need to worry about the South at all. Indianapolis, Tennessee, Jacksonville. I don't think any of those teams are going anywhere. But
what do we know?
Do we have a this day in Bills history or Facebook questions? I'll pull up the Facebook questions while you.
Sure.
History-fy.
I had two in the hopper, both Bills-Patriots games, since that was a game coming up. And if the Bills had won this game, we were going to get a lovely game in 1988 where the Bills kicked a last-second field goal to win it. But they lost. So why don't we talk about a Monday night football game where the 1-5 Patriots face the 5-1 Bills. And oh, who wins? It's the New England Patriots. So it's kind of funny how the seasons went from this point on. The Bills would make the playoffs, go 10-6. They would win a playoff game, which was the last season in which they did so, 21 seasons ago. The Patriots, continued to be bad, went 6-10, but still managed to beat Buffalo later in the season. They end up sweeping the during the season, which at least won't happen this year. So, you know, the Bills were short two key components here. They did not have Marv Levy, who's a great run blocker. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the head coach. And then Thurman Thomas, who is the star running back. Rookie running back, Curtis Martin. That's when you know this game was a while ago when you're talking about rookie running back Curtis Martin. He had 127 rushing yards. Drew Bledsoe had his best game of the season. New England won 27-14. Patriots coach Bill Parcells noted that it was their best effort of the year. Said, hey, we haven't turned any corners or anything. We beat a team that's leading the division. Division is a long way from over. That was technically true with the Patriots. This was just a blip on the radar. What was a terrible season for them. They were the NFL's lowest scoring team. They played against the Bills' top rated defense in 95. Remember, this was the Bryce Pop season. Marv Levy had been recovering from surgery for prostate cancer. Elijah Pitts had taken over. They did not do well during that stretch. I think they went 1-2 during that stretch. You know, Pitts minimized the attempts of Thurman Thomas, saying, you know, we did the same thing we planned for Thurman. We didn't back down. It just didn't work. Bledsoe had signed a 7-year, $42 million contract before the game, which once it expired, he went to the Buffalo Bills after that. And he was replaced by a guy named Tom Brady. I'm not sure. But anyway, Curtis Martin rushing 36 times, so his yards per carry was terrible. You know, but Drew Bledsoe. Had a great game. There was a Thurman Thomas fumble that led to Martin's touchdown. Derek Holmes then fumbled on the first play of the second half. This game was just one that constantly went downhill. So the Bills, on a Monday night, lose to their next opponent this year, the New England Patriots, by a score of 27-14, dropping to 5-2, while New England goes to 2-5. So as we look to trivia tidbits, by the way, time of possession in this game, very appropriate. New England 39 minutes 24 seconds, the Bills 20 minutes 36 seconds, so not dissimilar to today. So we've mentioned some pretty out there names in this game. I'm trying to think of what would make a good trivia question. Of course, this is before the day where Pro Football Reference was putting starting lineups out there, which would allow me to be a bit creative. Oh, what? Which Bills linebacker in this game had six tackles in the middle of the field this game? Thank you for that in-depth analysis. Otherwise, didn't register any stats save his tackles, but would go on to win professional wrestling championships in the 2000s.
Oh, man. I have a feeling that it was Brock Lesnar because I think he did play football, but I'm not entirely sure.
Brock Lesnar did play football, but it was for the Vikings.
I don't think Dwayne Johnson made it to the pros. He was a University of Miami guy.
Miami, yeah.
I'll stick with Brock Lesnar. And okay. I did, strangely, watch about 10 minutes of Monday Night Raw. This week for the first, I watch about 10 minutes of Raw a year. I flipping channels, and I once a year or so I stop on it and I watch a match. And I watched Chris Jericho and some other guy, and Chris Jericho at like probably almost 50 was doing the same shit he was doing 20 years ago, and my wife laughed at me. But anyway, it was fun to watch for 10 minutes.
As she should have.
Yes.
I am, Brock Lesnar is a good guess, but I am going to go with Judy Blume.
Yeah.
Good old Judy Blume.
Great answer.
Author of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Right.
But I think she then...
A seminal novel in all of our individual lives, as we've discussed.
She bumped around, you know, college for a little while after, and then I think she was at... You know, she transferred, and then she ended up at Marshall, and then... I think she went... She was in... Wasn't she in NFL Europe for a while, and then she came back?
Maybe with the Rhine Fire, I want to say, perhaps.
That's probably what it would have been, that late 90s period when NFL Europe was a thing.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm going to go Judy Blume.
All right. Now, remember, the key distinction here is I know the rush tackles by this player were on the middle. Judy Blume's six tackles that game were in the left guard gap. So that was, you missed that key component of the question. Judy had the six tackles, but was in the left guard gap. Another good guess would have been, because he also appeared on Monday Night Raw this week, even though I just saw the highlights, was Bill Goldberg, who did play for the Falcons on defense for a number of years. But the actual answer, he played linebacker for the Bills from 93 to 95, and then with the Patriots in 1996, he was known as the Alpha Male, was his title. He wrestled briefly for WWE in 2006-2007, where he was known as the Alpha Male Marquise Corvan. But he was mainly known for his work in TNA and also with Juggalo Championship Wrestling, for those of you who are fans of the Insane Clown Posse. Which
that's deep. None of you.
He won the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Rookie of the Year in 2004. It is the Alpha Male Monty Brown. You may remember from his three seasons as a Bills linebacker. He did have 71 total tackles. I'm looking for his career sack stats, which I don't know why I clicked on. Oh, he never had a sack in his career, or an interception, or a pass defended. So he was a little under the radar, but he did start six games for the Bills in 95, and this was one of them. So the Alpha Male, Monty Brown. Go ahead.
And core, though, with Judy Blum, Brock Lesnar, and Monty Brown.
Yeah. Right.
That would be the best they've had since like Spielman and Pop and all those guys. So as this day in Bills history, October 23rd, 1995, 21 years ago.
Yeah, there he is. He's wrestling. He was from Detroit, Michigan, the Animal Kingdom, or the Serengeti, depending on which version of himself he was wrestling as. Played for 4 years, competing in Super Bowl 28 for the Bills in 1994. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that's really cool. That's cool. Now entering the ring. We should do a wrestling podcast once. Just not like we wouldn't watch an either. We would all watch an episode now, knowing nothing, and review that, or we would just talk about wrestling from when we were kids.
Both of which would be entertaining, I would think.
Yeah. They would be entertaining.
We could do it as like a Gossip Gals style post show.
Yeah, like a post show, right? Which I never actually posted Gossip Gals. I think that's still nobody knows quite what that is, Scott. Still hang that over your head. Not that there's anything to be ashamed of. The Facebook questions. Yes, I pulled them up on my phone here. Josh, with his excited exuberance and his optimism for next week.
Yeah, Josh cannot be there. You cannot put a wet blanket on Josh.
If no,
you know, he's just going to throw it off like a superhero. And
he did say that run game being non-existent sucks, but the Dolphins O-line was amazing. Got to give him props. Bills need to tighten up the defense run game if we want to be a playoff team. So that, I agree. Something to learn from. Something to learn from right there. Like, you know, it's a lesson learned. Pat's going down next week. Let's go, Bills.
And let's be honest, as a Bills focused podcast, we do tend to steer away from, you know, the accomplishments of other teams. The Dolphins ran for 200 plus yards for the second straight week. And that goes to the offensive line too. So, you know, credit where credit's due to the Dolphins offensive line. They dominated what has been a good Bills offensive line for four straight weeks, or defensive line for four straight weeks. So, you know, props to them, as much as it hurts to say that. Although the Steelers then did get roundly gashed this week by New England up front. And
which brings up,
they showed the players who run for 200 plus yards in a bunch of straight games. It was like Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, this guy, and then O.J. Simpson, who did it twice. So crazy. Dolphins and Bills.
There you go. Which brings up one of Steven's questions through his comments. He first of all, is sort of with us. Maybe more towards a little lower, but you know, Colin Taylor, basically another game manager who won't lose the game if you're winning, but can't win the game on his own. I mean, he did win a game on his own, and I push back a little. I feel like if he had like anybody left who could catch the football at the end, maybe, or a running back, but anyway, I don't want to step all over it. Basically the Bills are Billsing. But he says they finished the game with all three of their top receivers out. That sure didn't help, but how much of a difference did that actually make? I think we covered that, and I think my answer was at least, you know, enough.
Yeah, and it did. You know, that there is that fact. You can't be Watkins and Woods the whole game. I mean, Goodwin and Justin Hunter were your starting wide receivers. Walt Polis, you don't even have Greg Salas because he's on injured reserve. So You know, that's just tough right there.
I mean, even Tom Brady has had days where he's relied on people who couldn't catch the football that he threw. And so, you know, yes, Steven has a point that a receiver is only as good as his quarterback, but I think Taylor's proven that he's good enough to throw to those guys and to make things happen. And so, you know, I don't want to completely discount him. He wants to know how much of what we saw today was a Jay and how much of it was the Dolphins' offensive game plan. That is, how worried should the Bills be that the rest of the schedule will be able to duplicate what Miami did? I would say a lot of it is a Jay. And I think that it might catch up with him, actually, because he's had these two huge back-to-back weeks, and the league might be able to, you know, catch up with him, like, I don't know, stop a stretch play.
The good news is it won't take as long as Bills fans to find out, because LeGarrette Blount comes to town next week, so we'll see if the Patriots have a similar, system in mind here. And then, of course, we've got Christine Michael the week after that, so we're going to know in a couple weeks.
Bill Belichick is going to get a hold of this week's game film, and he's just going to start laughing, and then he's just going to just continue to laugh. He's going to have a good long chuckle about this. And he's not a laugher, but he's going to laugh for a long time.
Yeah, I think that it could be a lot of trouble this week. I don't think that it's a problem going forward that the Bills can't stop a good running back. I think they didn't stop a good running back this week. We've also talked about they missed a lot of tackles. And so they didn't miss a lot of tackles a lot of the other games this year. So it's a matter of whether they're going to tackle or not. I don't think it was like this was Ryan's defensive – excuse me. This was Ryan's defense fault. Like, the Bills players were there in position and needed to adjust, and they didn't. So I think you're going to have – personally, I think you're going to have games like this. And, you know, I wouldn't expect everyone to do this against them. And he also wants to ditto Paul's tweet about the special team keeping the Bills in the game, which I think we all agree on.
And we talked about Colin Schmidt. Blocked punt. Let's not forget what a big impact that had. The kick coverage was great. Tate's punt return set the team up big. I mean, the Bills were only in that game largely because of special teams.
Were there any good Twitter questions or?
There were. We had a good week. I put the and to go back quickly, this kind of ties into what Steven said. Bills and Beers, our colleagues in the podcast realm, when we were tweeting with each other, know the blueprint to defeating Tyrod Taylor, fourth quarter lead, is that's happened a lot. And Steven mentioned it. And again, the issue here is, and I mentioned this to you, Tyrod, what has he done in his career on a fourth quarter drive when the team's down one score? I think maybe the Tennessee game were failing in the fourth quarter in that comeback game, but he's got it. This was the chance was there today. He had Goodwin open on that third and 10 and missed him and then got him murdered on the field. So that was, that's a problem. So anyway, Twitter questions.
We're coming out strongly against murder on this podcast.
Right. Yes. We're very anti-murder today, even though I dropped an OJ Simpson reference.
Right.
Ryan, Nightbeat Ryan, to distinguish our Ryans, said, I want to hear about anything that isn't the effing awful Dolphins game. So I think we screwed that up, guys. I think we missed that one.
Our bad.
Yeah.
Well, no, stay tuned because we're about to talk about the awful Patriots game coming up.
Right. Fair enough. Orlando noted, you know, please discuss this McCoy debacle on the podcast. If Gilsey looks good, I'll be even more upset. I think we've covered this topic a little bit too. Hindsight, you keep him on the bench. I think this was just really tough. And like Frank made a very valid point earlier, the doctors could have very well said, no, he should be good to go. This isn't, you're being way, way beyond over the cost if you don't play him. So, that could have well happened there. Of course, him re-injuring his hamstring, that could look very bad if he comes out and says he wasn't 100% going into this game. Brian Punt. Our buddy commented, reality check, kudos for getting wins from a team with many flaws, except as usual that the flaws and injuries will limit them. Again, we talked about that as well already, so I don't want to go too much into that. Orlando says, fire Rex. But he says he just wants to get that going again. He doesn't want us to discuss it, but he kind of wants us to get that, get that back on our radar for a future discussion point.
It's the distant rumblings of the fire Rex chant begin anew.
Yes.
Yeah,
they've been quieted, but you can hear the talk show hosts kind of sharpening their knives.
Jerry Sullivan's cracking his knuckles right now. To me, like this game wasn't on Ryan, other than if you believe he can make people tackle better.
Right. Jasmine Jester notes, ugly loss. Alexander Kate Schmidt, other players to show up maybe next year. I don't think we're quite ready for the tagline yet. I think we're going to have to wait till after the Seahawks game week to say whether it's a – when we say maybe next year, that's kind of like the worst scenario. Like the season's pretty much over at that point. We're just playing out the string. So we're not there yet simply because everything the Bills done this year have done this year, win or lose, has been unexpected for the most part, as noted by my 1-6 record on predictions for games. And then last two items I'll mention – Orlando said, I remember you saying on the podcast you were glad Miami beat Pitt, but I guess the Bills didn't care about that because I was thinking the Bills would have some film to look at, but it didn't. It certainly didn't help them. And then the last thing you'll note, Bills Mafia Roller follow-up said, enjoy the show. Make sure to give your Twitter handle and to promote good reviews better. So I should have done that in hindsight at the very beginning of the podcast. Just chimed in with that. But, twitter.com/bbillsmny. Give us some good reviews. I am very witty on Twitter. We are all very witty on the podcast. You guys are witty on the Facebook, as the kids call it. So, shout out to the Bills Mafia Roller. Otherwise, it was nice talking to JR this week. Hadn't been in touch with him before that I remember. And again, JR, we have been. I apologize. So, that covers the Twitter sphere.
Scott, 4.5-point dogs to the Patriots. Is that a laughably small line or what?
I mean, if it's me playing the Patriots, I think it's laughably small. I mean, if the Bills are playing the Patriots, then it's also laughably small. Yeah, no, I agree.
Does it depend? Do you think maybe the Vegas is waiting to see how injured the Bills are, and that's just like
I don't know. I don't know if that was maybe the line before today's games. That I could see that. I mean, I got this from VegasInsider.com, so I don't know exactly how quickly they update their lines. But I'd imagine that. I would imagine if I was setting the line for the Bills-Pats game right now, it would be tough for me to say anything less than – it'd be hard for me to keep it out of double digits, frankly.
Yeah, no,
I would say Pats by 9.
Yeah. That's, I mean, probably Blount 127 rushing yards today, 2 TDs, not to mention Brady and Gronkowski.
What's
Gronkowski
the difference between Ryan Tannehill and Tom Brady?
A million, right.
That's the difference in today's line. So I,
yeah.
So the Bills lost to the Dolphins by 3, arguably could have been 10 very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like 9's a pretty safe bet, if you ask me. This line's going to move a lot if that's what this really is.
Right? Yeah, the big problem with losing today's game is – the big problem with next week's game against the Patriots is that you lost this week's game. If you'd won today's game, you'd go and say, wow, I'm going to go into the break no worse than 5-4. I've got another division and conference win under my belt, and – you know, you're going to probably have to eat it against the Patriots, but, you know, like that's everybody in the conference, frankly. So, you know, you probably were going to still feel pretty good at 5-4. And immediately if you could have gotten to 6-3, that would have been amazing. But all is, that's kind of where we are now at 4-3. I was watching the Steelers game because I was hopeful that there'd be some sort of good formula, and they kind of had it. The Steelers weren't blitzing at all, and they were
no blitzing, zero blitzes the whole game.
And they really held everything in check except for at the end. There were they started running LeGarrette Blount, and I think that's exactly what the Patriots will do. And then Gronkowski broke coverage. It wasn't they didn't blitz. They just sort of the plan was, let them catch the football, but tackle them immediately. And it was working. It was frankly, they were doing a good job. And the problem was the Steelers couldn't score points. They were kicking field goals, and then it caught up with them. And I think the problem is right now, there's no evidence that the Bills can score any better than the Landry Jones Steelers. And I think there's plenty of evidence that even though I do think overall the defense is pretty good for Buffalo, still, I still think it's going to be a good defense, and it is a good defense. I think there's no evidence to show that they can sort of shut down Tom Brady. So for me, and I usually go last, but I'll go first. I mean, I'm going to pick the Bills to lose to the Patriots, probably something on the order of 30-13. I think it's going to be a big loss. That said, the last time I felt this down about the Bills, or even close to it, was 0-2 going into play the Arizona Cardinals. So, I don't know. Who's to say? You're to say, Scott. Why don't you say? What do you say?
Yeah, no, I'll also put it at a big loss. I'm fine with that. Yeah, because, I mean, certainly the talent differential is there. Certainly the Patriots are motivated. I think, obviously, it's pretty clear that the Bills had pissed them off the last time we played with a lot of kind of yakking after the play. And, yeah, winning at Gillette probably pissed them off anyway. Obviously, Belichick was pissed off. So, yeah, no, I can definitely see a very – motivated Pats team looking to get, you know, set themselves up for their, you know, trying to get that first round bye and home field advantage through the playoffs that they're, you know, they've always kind of been hunting for. And I could see them winning. Yeah, 30-13 is nice. I could see, let's see, the Bills going to do better or worse than that. I think
it's hard to say without knowing.
Without knowing how McCoy is going to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll go ahead and be optimistic and say McCoy gets in there, but I'm going to still say it's not going to matter. So I'll say like 38-21, you know, still, you know, a game for a half, but then the Pats just pull away too much.
Right.
Right. This is, you know, it's a couple interesting things here. Any guesses on when the Bills last swept the Patriots?
1994.
All right, Scott.
1648.
Remember, we're closest without going over, so this is going to go to Frank. 1999. And the last time, what's interesting is the last playoff year. The last time any AFC's team swept the Patriots in a season, 2000. Now, to be fair, the Jets did beat them twice in a year once, but they lost the other game 45-3, which is a score I'm not making up. Because they beat them in the playoffs that year.
Wow.
I don't think this is going to happen. I think we're all agreeing on that. The plus side is I'm 1-6 on predictions, and I'm tempted to pick the Bills only because I'll be rooting hard for them next week, of course, as even more so than a typical week. And it will suck if they do win. I'm going to end up going to 1-7 on my prediction, but I have no choice. You look at this game, there's – you don't want to overreact to one bad loss. You want to overreact to one big win. But you look at this and just the factors at play. I think the Bills play it tough. I really do. They did well against the Patriots once, but I think the Patriots are going to be too much. I'm going to say 31-21 Patriots in this game. And one thing we didn't mention a name during this podcast that we definitely should have mentioned, I just realized. It might be another famous person might have the last name O'Neill with this first name. Might be named Shaq.
Oh yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
NFL debut, Shaq Lawson. I don't think we even brought up his name, which is fair because he only had one tackle.
I think I said that we should have done better given that we theoretically should have gotten better on defense with the addition of a first round draft pick.
That right.
Now the name has been spoken, yeah. Mike Volpe.
Right. Yes. Yes. To be fair, you know, you said you don't want to overreact to too much to a loss. I'm not sure any of us are picking them to beat the Patriots if they beat the Dolphins this week. I think we're all feeling good, and it's going to be fun because it's going to be for first place in the AFC East. But I think everyone's sort of like, I mean, I don't know that anyone here is necessarily picking them to beat the Tom Brady Patriots anytime soon. So.
Right. Although sadly, it's not for first place anymore because now the damn Patriots are up 2 games on the Bills.
Yes.
And breaking news, Aaron Williams was able to get on the flight back to Buffalo. So
yeah, I thought I mentioned that. I'm sorry. I knew that, but I – so, yeah, he had to have an MRI, basically. So there's no – but that doesn't mean he's going to play, but it's certainly
right.
– it's hopeful that he's not, like, in any sort of, you know, going to die.
Right, which moment Tim Graham has an article about that everyone will read in the Buffalo News tomorrow. So that essentially, like, does what happened – and this is not a discussion for this podcast – but does what happened to Aaron Williams make you think, geez, is football really a sport they should be playing? But, you know, discussion for the offseason.
Right. Well, to reiterate all of our wonderful places where you can reach us, again, on Twitter, we're BBillsMNY, Facebook – .com/BBillsMNY. You can find our blog, BBillsMNY.wordpress.com, where we host all of our podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes. Search Buffalo Bills maybe next year, either there or in iTunes. And if you do have an iTunes account and you rate us and you give us some good stars, that'd be great. If you have the ability to do that in other, you know, through RSS feeds or anything like that, in any sort of pod app that you have, any place you can rate us highly or let your friends know or to do this or do that, we would appreciate, because we just, we do this for free, we do it for fun, and we do it from, we do it because we do it and we want to do it. And we, the more the merrier. We really enjoyed our interactions with people, except for Scott, who is on the record as hating all of our fans.
Everyone. So we're still at the bottom. We're now at the bottom of page one, but we're still on page one. So
that's good. That's good. That's good. So we do appreciate it. If you have anything, you want to shout at us, you can also email us bbillsmny@gmail.com. I will say that definitely goes unchecked for a long time. You're much better off sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. Until next time, where we'll all be talking about how wrong we were for picking the Patriots, I'm sure. My name is Frank.
I'm Scott.
I'm Paul.
Good night, everybody.